May be seated. Good morning. I'd like to begin this morning with a few words here about a couple of matters that questions came up, and I thought if two people have questions, probably more people have questions. The first pertains to what was shared about the 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, and an encouragement to, if you're a 30-fold, to not stop there thinking, well, I'm bearing fruit. And you should by no means continue at 30-fold if you have 60-fold potential. But I want to be at least a 30-fold. God is not looking to see how hard you can run for Him or how much you can beat yourself up to perform. He wants your heart. The question came whether if you have potential to be a 60-fold and you're only at 30-fold, does that mean you're going to lose your 30-fold? No. The 30-fold, that which brought forth 30-fold, was good ground that brought forth fruit. I'd just like to say that the speed limit isn't at 30-fold. But if in my heart's integrity, all I can bring forth is 30-fold, I'm satisfied with that. I'm satisfied with that in my children. Those in my church, if that's a good effort and that's where you're at, that's fine. That's fine. The Lord has never complimented laziness. And where we can grow and be more fruitful, let's do it. Let's just set that good bread of God before our eyes and our hearts. The other thing that I want to talk about a little bit is, what is a talent? So if you're supposed to be using your talents, what is a talent? If you want to turn to 1 Peter chapter 4, the term talent basically is a rate of money. And it was a gift, it was deposit that the Lord gave to His servants that they were supposed to use for Him and increase His wealth. That's bottom line. That's why when He came back to have a day of reckoning, and one, He had been given 5 talents. And He took and used that. He went to work with that, and the Lord's wealth was increased. And when the Lord came and says, you know, what have you gained? He brought 10 talents. This is yours. This is your wealth. And all that we accomplish in life, in the spiritual realm, in the kingdom of God, is all still God's. There's going to be a reward on that great day. What I see in that passage is that the Lord turned around and gave it to him and says, he hath 10 talents. It became his wealth then somehow. So much so that the fellow that had 1 talent, they took it away from him and says, give it to him who has. Who has. Says, well, Lord, but he has 10. Says, yes, to him who hath, more is going to be given. And so in every human heart that has received the Lord Jesus Christ, the Scripture teaches there are spiritual gifts given. And one of the reasons that I object to people digging too much into what their spiritual gift is, somehow there comes a spiritual stigma with it. You know, I'm a prophet. But these are things that we serve with to the edification of another. 1 Peter 4, in verse 7, says, but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. Doesn't charity increase the Lord's wealth tremendously? As we have fervent charity among ourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. Verse 10, as every man hath received the gift of salvation, the gift of the Lord's presence, the gift, a something to minister with, even so minister, that word minister means serve, serve the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. We're still talking about ministering with those gifts that the Lord has given us. I call it a talent. I call it a tendency, a spiritual tendency towards the edification of another person. Even so, sorry. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Let me elaborate on this just a little bit further. Wherever Jesus went, he was doing good. He was healing the sick. He was ministering to poor. He fed the multitude. When they came out and there was no bread, he multiplied bread and fed them, and he preached the word to them, and there were others that were with him there, the apostles that passed the bread out. Everywhere Jesus was going, there was ministering going on. Now, as members in his body, he gives you some gifts. He gives you something to edify another with. And as you employ that, whatever it might be, Romans 12 is another passage that lists a goodly number of those things. You want further insight, take a concordance or a word study, and you study those words and try to understand and say, Lord, where is my heart leaning towards? One brother who had the tendency to serve, he would have rather preached. He said, I think preaching is the highest calling for the edification of God's people and a conversion of people. But he said, serving may be second rate. He says, I'd like to preach, but I don't think that's going to be my calling. When he was asked to preach, he'd spend day and a half, 2 days to prepare a message. He was rebuked to me. What do you have that God has given you for the edification of another? Just give you a little glimpse. Became aware recently that there's a family who had visited us at Poplar Hill some time back. And when they returned to their home at some distance, there was one of the sisters in the congregation that began to just continually have contact with the wife in that family. And, you know, they were aware, they're listening in on Sunday mornings, and there was just communication. And oh, okay, so there seemed to be a need for some more sermons. And so she got some sermons together that she thought would be edifying for them and of interest to them. And so she put these sermons together in a packet and mailed it to them. And this whole packet of sermons got there just before they took an extended trip. And she's ministering. She took an interest. And she's ministering. And she's growing. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about some kind of big halo or some kind. Let not your heart be troubled. So if you turn to Matthew chapter 24 and verse 6, the title for today's message is Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. And you say, well, the kind of things you've been talking about and false prophets and suffering and all these things, how can I possibly keep my heart from being troubled? I want to show you here this morning something that my daughter pointed out to me that she had found. I didn't know it was there. But I'd like to share it with us this morning. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 6. Let's begin reading in verse... I went to Matthew 5. I don't know why. Matthew 24 and verse 4, rather. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. We're talking about sitting on the Mount of Olives. There, and he had talked to them about in the temple. He said, there's not going to be left one stone here upon another. It's not going to be thrown down. And they asked him, when is these things going to be? In verse 4, Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Sounds terrible. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. What are the next words? See that ye be not troubled. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. The first admonition is, don't be deceived. The second is, don't let your heart be troubled. The word there, and any of you can do this in finding out, well, what does that mean? to not let my heart be troubled. What is troubled in this case? Well, I don't really know what trouble is. Do you take a concordance or word study like I described a few days ago and you look that word up? Oh, that word number is number 2360. Means troubled. In other words, to wail or to clamor, by implication, to frighten. Trouble. Why not, Jesus? How can I help it? Let's go to Mark chapter 13. We're going to go to all four Gospels. Mark 13 and verse 7. Same context. Jesus in verse 5 says, take heed lest any man deceive you. Verse 7. And when ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, be ye not troubled. For such things must needs be, but the end shall not be yet. Be not troubled. It's the same word. Don't let your heart wail or be frightened or troubled. I don't have this in my notes. But in Philippians, where it talks about keeping your mind thinking about things that are true, honest, lovely, virtue, good report, anything that's worthy of praise, and the peace of God which passeth understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. If you cannot control your mind and what your mind thinks about, you can't have a peaceful heart. Don't let your heart be troubled. Proverbs says, keep your heart with all diligence. I think it is one of the most used roads downward, the thought life. You get to muddling over something that's not pure or honorable or of virtue, of good report, praiseworthy. The Lord didn't, Paul didn't make a mistake in writing that. There are times we simply need to say, it's time to stop thinking about that. Focus your mind on something else, or you will not be able to keep a troubled, free heart. Turn to Luke 21. We have two more words here. Luke 21 and verse 9. Luke 21 and verse 9, but when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified. For these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. I'll just throw in a little something there on the last note about keeping our minds. Our daughters, I became aware that as they're washing dishes and working around there in the house, that they were doing a lot of singing. And that was a blessing, but only later found out why. They had agreed between the two of them, especially, I think it was Ellen and Emily. I'm not sure where all Eva got involved with that, but it was a tremendous blessing. They had determined that when either of them start struggling in their mind, in their thoughts, that they were going to start singing. And many songs they had memorized, and they sang together to put their minds in the right channel. It's very important if you want to be a successful Christian. You want to, I'm saying successful in walking with God, at peace and prospering. This word right here, be not terrified. Verse 8 had said, watch for deception. But verse 9 says, be not terrified. The word is number 4022. Through the idea of causing to fall, or through the idea of causing to fly away, to scare, frighten. Don't let your heart be terrified. Be not terrified. Don't get so burdened with this thing that you get discouraged and drop it. Don't get so terrified that you... We're allowed, according to Scripture, to... You know, if they persecute you in one city, you're allowed to flee to another. But this whole thing of what goes on in the human heart, with its terror, incapacitating us. It's not God's will. We'll see more why. John 14, verse 1 and 2. John 14, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. Believe in me. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. But he says here, let not your heart be troubled. That's our title this morning. Let not your heart be troubled. This is again a different Greek word. It's word number 5015 in the New Testament Strong's. It means to stir or agitate. Royal water, R-O-I-L, royal water. Trouble. The word royal was a brand new one to me, but if you put a B in front of it, it boils, and you know what happens with water that boils. It's turbulent, it's rolling. It means, the word royal means to make turbid by stirring up the sediments or dregs of, disturb, disorder. Keep your heart that the things that go on in there don't get the stirring to where it brings the sediment off of the bottom. Talking about a peaceful heart, maintaining a peaceful heart. Here we have four scriptures on end times that tell us to not let our hearts be troubled, and three definitions of what that means. God wants us to dwell in peace in our hearts. Look here at John chapter 14, verse 27. He says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You know, I didn't do my homework. I didn't study which of those troubled words that is. But Jesus said, I give a peace unlike the world's peace, which is a circumstantial peace that changes with circumstances. That's what the world's peace is like. You know, everything's at rest. Everything, you know, all the needs are supplied and have a good recliner and, you know, time enough to sit in it. And that's peace. This is peaceful. But this is a peace that is given in the midst of trouble. This is a peace that is developed through depending on Him in uncertainty and suffering. It's a peace that comes from knowing Him and all that come to me. It's a peace that has to do with knowing Him and all that comes to me comes through Him and He knows about it. He talks about every hair being counted. Someone once told me I was keeping the Lord busy. Recounting them. They're leaving. Another passage says, not a hair of your head is going to perish. How's that, Jesus? I'm not sure, but I believe it. We want to look now at four reasons we should not let our hearts be troubled. Number one, that all power is given to Jesus. Matthew 28, 16 through 20. This should be a familiar passage to us. But in Matthew 28, it says, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw Him, they worshipped Him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. I just note that He says, I'm always with you. There at the end, I'm always with you. But He says here, all power is given to me. Look at those words. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Look at those words. That word power is number 1849. It's in the sense of ability, privilege, i.e. force capacity, competency, freedom or mastery, concrete magistrate, superhuman potentate, token of control, delegated influence, authority, jurisdiction, liberty, power, right, and strength. About every word that you can use to describe authority or power or right or dominion is in that definition. And what does it mean? This one has promised to be with us. In that word power is contained that there is no entity in heaven or in earth. Now it says the Son is going to be subject to the Father after He's subdued all things under Himself. But other than that, there is no entity that is as high as the Lord Jesus. There is no devil in the mission field where you're going that has power like the Lord Jesus does. Here is one who has jurisdiction over everything, both above and beneath, and you are His servant. And this one has said, I will be with you all the way to the end. Circumstances can be changed by appealing to Him who has all power. Brother James was locked up for a night. I heard him say he didn't have any fear. This was in a Muslim lockup. No fear, just trust in God. He's still on the throne. They put your head on the chopping block. He's still on the throne. He might be standing there and watching as you come to Him through death. But He is the one who can be have prayer made unto Him and subdue demonic forces. I think in the U.S. maybe we see less physical miracles in the sense of healing and some of those things because of all the medical science and everything that's around, and maybe because of our lack of faith. But wherever you go, there is none that has higher authority. There was a young brother and his wife that were wanting to fly out of the country of Albania, I believe it was, Albania or Greece. And somehow the situation was a little bit tense, and they had gotten to the airport and they needed now tickets to fly. And the young man went there and he checked. Are there any tickets available? And they said, no. Plane's full. There are no tickets available. So he took his wife and they went off to the side and prayed. And he said, and when he told us about this, I thought, Joshua, why'd you do that? They already told you that the plane's full. After they prayed, he said, I'm going to go check again. And he went up there and says, I'm just checking to see if there's any seats available on this plane. And they looked and they said, yeah, there are two. All power. All power. You don't need to fear the dark, demons, or vandals. If He who has all power gives you a quiet, peaceable heart. We were down in Honduras, and there was this demented man who had bitten a number of people, seriously, viciously bitten them. And this brother, deacon, that I was with down there, and we were on some church business down there, and there was some demon trouble going on. I could tell you stories the rest of our time here. But he had this thing around his neck. It was a charm. And Amos says, let me see that thing. And he had a long track of hair, and he just pulled it off and handed it to him. And Amos looked at it, and he says, shall we just smash it? So can we just smash the thing? No! Grab that thing. Amos had that thing with three fingers. He said, a four-year-old child could have jerked that out of my hand. But that fellow pulled on that thing. Couldn't do anything. I mean, his teeth were popping, but he couldn't bite him either. Just calmly. He says, just let me have it, Amos. Just let me have it. Anyway. Well, he says, shall I just let him have it back? I said, well, it's pointless to force take it from him because he hasn't yielded up in his heart. It's not going to bring any power or darkness. In the meantime, in this whole catastrophe, he had a false prosthesis, and he unbuckled the thing and kicked his leg, and the thing went scooting across the floor, and you know. But when Amos turned that thing loose over his head, he almost fell over himself getting out of there. The next day, I was in town with one of those single sisters that was caring for children there, and some of the children, we were there at a tabletop pharmacy, and who should come walking up but he himself. And he made some kind of violent gestures, and I just looked at him and said, "No poder, no power." He knew he had no power in this situation. He made motions of, you know, pulling the trigger, and I said, "No poder." Boom! He couldn't stand it. So he's standing around there, and he reached out to pat the little boy on top of the head, and I said, He jerked his hands back when I made no. Don't be intimidated, brothers and sisters. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Satan works through fear. And he works through the idea that he has power over you. But he doesn't. He doesn't have power. Jesus, he is still underneath. He has to give account to Jesus. And where Jesus says, "Here's the line, here's the line." To those same sisters over that troublesome time, there were some poison tortillas sent to them. But when the messenger got there to deliver the poisonous tortillas, he said there was a large gringo working in the front lawn. And he said, "Such a terrible fear came over me." He said, "I threw the tortillas in the bushes and took off running." So they asked some questions. There was no foreigner. There was no gringo. There was no big white man working in the lawn. It was an angel. Those poison tortillas were not to get to them. "All power is given to me," the Lord Jesus says, "in heaven and in earth." All power. You can ask him, take your troubles to him. If he doesn't deliver you from the troubles, he gives you grace to walk through it with a calm heart. There's our goal. Let not your heart be troubled. If you're in Christ, you can ask for his peace and care in the midst of difficulties. Do you believe that Jesus has all power, all authority? If he calls you to walk through it, he will walk through it with you. If you are with him, it puts you to have authority over evil spirits, over fear, doubt, and all those works of darkness. The more you believe this, the more actuality you will have, and the less your heart will be troubled. "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no ill, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Number two, casting all your care on him, for he careth for you. That's from 2 Peter. But we want to go to Matthew 11, verse 28. Matthew 11, verse 28, it says, this is point number two. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Many, many Christians have learned to do this for many years. You cannot have a heart untroubled if you do not learn and keep this. If you do not learn to bring and come to Jesus when you're laboring and heavy laden, and that he will in actuality give you rest. We have here, are you laboring and heavy laden? Maybe with sin, maybe with cares and worries. Do you have fears? Fear of the future, fear of a one world government, fear of persecution or torture. If you're laboring and heavy laden, Jesus offers a closer relationship, a yoke, and a lesson in character, meekness, from his meekness. You will find rest if you learn to come and cast your care on him. If you're heavy and laboring and heavy laden, you know what that's like? I know what that's like. He says, an invitation, come to me, and you'll get a closer relationship and a lesson in meekness and it brings rest. The fight is gone. Number three, Luke 21, verse 27. Luke 21. Luke 21 and verse 27, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And what are you supposed to do then? Lift up your heads. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. When did you ever get in trouble and say, oh, that's so exciting? Lift up your heads. Be encouraged. Most folks seem to hang our heads when we see these things happen. But the Lord said, when you see all these troubles that we talked about yesterday, and all these calamities and these problems, then lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. The Christian that is able to find courage and blessing and lifting up their heads in the midst and in spite of their difficulties are victorious Christians. And Jesus said, the time indication is tremendous blessing coming. Lift up your heads. For the faithful, Jesus' return will be unutterably glorious. Unutterably glorious. Can you imagine seeing Him coming in a cloud with power and great glory? Was walking with someone from one building to the next building. This person was on his way to the new birth. And he yielded us to the Lord Jesus. And he said, as we're walking, he later said this. He said, as we're walking, there was a whole group of people walking on each side of us. And I said, there were? He said, yeah. The devil was telling him, run, run. And he says, I went this way and I bumped into people, and I went this way and I bumped into people. And he says, I looked down and there were feet in sandals. They were burnished bronze, glowing feet. I was a person that was walking beside him. To my knowledge, there wasn't anybody else on the other side of him. I think we're surrounded with a heavenly host. And I think it's the feet of Jesus that he saw. Remember what Revelation calls his feet there? When the Lord Jesus comes, that's just a glimpse into his glory. Just to see him coming with the clouds, descending. It's a reason to lift up our heads and get excited. But if we're worried about the things and stuff, we might miss it. This is he whom we worship. We align our lives with Him. We love Him. In 2 Thessalonians 1, we read this yesterday, but I think it's worthwhile reading again this today. If you don't want to turn there, I'll read it. And you can just listen. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, in verse 7 through 10, it says, and to you who are troubled, rest with us. Lift up your heads. You who are troubled, you will get rest with us, Paul says. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints. Lift up your heads. The time is drawing nigh. Some will be punished and fall. But his saints will be in a glorious state and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you is believed in that day. His saints are going to be in a very, very glorious state. Admire him. Lift up your heads. Number four, that ye should not be offended. I want to spend a little more time here. Let's go to John chapter 16. Well, at least we're getting some exercise in paging through our Bibles. I remember a dear preacher friend of mine was painting at my house some years ago in Tennessee, and he was also preaching in the evenings, and he's painting, painter by trade, and he was in a bedroom and had the door closed, and I went to just check on him, and so I opened the bedroom, and he was squatted down there and had his Bible open, and he was paging through his Bible, and he'd page and read some, and then he'd roll paint. He knew how to page through his Bible. Study his Bible. I recommend it. John 16, verse 1 through 4. These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. Well, Jesus, maybe it had been better if he hadn't told us that. Is that how you feel sometimes? I mean, they're going to kill you. I think you see one thing in that. And that is, when we suffer for righteousness' sake, there have been various people that when they began to suffer for righteousness' sake, they began to second-guess themselves and say, am I just totally wrong? Oh, have I just totally missed it? No, actually, according to Matthew 5, he said, blessed are those that are persecuted for righteousness' sake. And it's one of the greatest affirmations that you're on the right road if you're persecuted for righteousness' sake. It's not an affirmation if you're, you know, if you're being strife on you, you know, giving punches for receiving punches and or giving them first maybe, but you know, that's not a mark of being being in a way of righteousness. But if you are walking with God and serving God and seeking to walk in a peaceful way, and you get persecuted, oh, it's a badge of honor. And Jesus said that you be not crucified, that you be not offended. Be not offended. Here in verse 2, they shall put you out of the synagogues. You ever been put out? You ever been put out of your friend's assembly? Have you ever been given a cold shoulder and treated like, just get out of here a while? Pretty painful, isn't it? I want to ask you how you relate to people that hurt you. It's not easy. It's not easy when you feel disinherited. It's not easy when you get a call and your brother tells you that Dad wanted me to call you and talk to you about this. That piece of property that has you and your wife's names on it, that you know, was supposed to be yours before you left. Dad wants to take your names off of those deeds. It came partly because of a miscommunication and something I said. But that sort of hurts. That you should not be offended. They'll put you out of synagogues. What you do with that hurt will make the difference of whether you'll be offended, whether you allow your heart to be troubled. I believe there's some measure of misdeeds and suffering that happens to every one of us. My wife and I took, whenever they told us, I just agreed to it. Whenever it was time, go sign those deeds off. We went into the attorney's office, didn't think about how we felt or paid any attention to any of that. We took the pens and just said, sign here, and we signed here, sign here, and we signed here, and have no inch of animosity towards that brother who got that property. But you know what? If I kept thinking about it, oh, that's just terrible. I don't know if I'll ever be able to look Dad in the eye again. I'm going to say that it was what happened and how it happened mainly my fault. See, it was intended that we would have the property where we lived forever. It's always to be in the family. That was supposed to be ours and our children's, you know. It was locked into the family. And we were supposed to be living there and have the property across the road in due time. But we up and left. I just don't want you to think badly of my daddy. And I'm being open with you and talking specifics because you also have specifics. When my daddy died, about 2 days before he passed, I stood there with one of his hands in my hand. And I put my other hand on top of his head and I said, Dad, as far as I know, there are no issues between me and you. From my heart to Dad, no issues. Peace. You can have an untroubled heart if you will give kindness in return for evil treatment. If you will get even with a stake for a rock. I want you to get visuals here. A kindness. It's not in our nature. If we can live that way in the brotherhood, there's a chance that we might relate that way to an enemy. People, there was a wife who's abandoned by her husband, has a very handicapped child, has cared for this child for years. And her pastor asked her one day whether her heart's clear. Are you keeping your heart clear? She said, yes. It's the first thing I do every morning. Somewhere about 17 years later. She said, it's the first thing I do every morning. Let not your heart be troubled. People are those who bring suffering in many cases. To ask God to bless those that we feel have wounded us, to allow no feeling even of resentment, is true peace. And I don't think, other than the Lord Jesus, there's a person alive that has ever walked in this by perfection, in imperfection. But it's the direction to not even, you know, Lord, that person that did that, said those hard words, would you bless him in an exceptionally nice way today and mean it with all your heart? You can have peace and not allow your heart to be troubled. It seems for some people to deny feelings inside, to forbid them is impossible or unheard of, whereas true Christians can do it. Yea, they do it all the time. I know those are strong words. But when Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled, it must mean that it's possible. I mean, he said it 4 times in the same context, similar context. Can you extend Christian kindness and even goodwill in the church, even though you feel wronged? Brethren have treated me this way, and it's valuable. Are you offended this morning? Jesus said, I speak these things to you so that you wouldn't be offended. Stephen, when they threw stones at him, he wasn't offended. He knelt down and said, Lord Jesus, lay not this sin to their charge. Something like that. And fell asleep. You think Stephen had peace? You think Stephen had something you can't have? No. No. It's a gift from God. Well, Jesus has gone into heaven to his Father's house to prepare a place for us. He tells us four times in light of end times to not let our heart be troubled. Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Or in the idea of a large house are many rooms, many dwelling places. In my Father's house, I go to prepare a place for you. And if he has gone and prepared a place for us that in the last almost 2,000 years, somewhere in there, I don't know exactly where all that timeline is, but what did he do in 7 days? What is that place going to be like? Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. But he showed them to us by his Spirit, and we get glimpses. We get glimpses. Let not your heart be troubled. They can only kill you. That's all they can do. That's the length of their tether. Young man, Nazarene, refused to fight in Europe. If you get a hold of those CDs from Byrne has these remarkable testimonies, about 2 or 3 CDs, of suffering and faith. And this young man went out there. There was 2 stories of 2 young men, and I get them a little bit. But after he had prayed, he stood up and faced the firing squad, and he said, no blindfold. Faced the firing squad and says, started singing an old, well, we have it as a, had it as a German song, but when strikes the hour? When can I go? He faced the firing squad and began singing that song. And the firing squad had to have the second command to fire. They were so, they'd never seen anything like this before. Peace? Yes. Difficult? Yes. Jesus wants us to dwell in peace. Are you keeping your heart from being offended? Do you have some offenses that you need to work through and let go? You need to just give them to God. Did you know that unforgiveness is a damnable sin? If we forgive not, we will not be forgiven. Do you lift up your head when you see all the troubles in the world? Glory! It must be coming. One thing for sure, today's a day sooner than it was. What a beautiful day for the Lord to come again. There's a lot of clouds. Maybe today will be the day. Are you in the habit of casting all your care on him? Someone told me, said, well, you just roll it off. You just, don't matter. No, I feel deeply. I hurt deeply. But by God's help, I've learned to give it to him. Deny those feelings. Are you living in the reality that all power in heaven and earth are given to Jesus? He can change anything that pertains to you. And he can help you to walk faithfully through whatever you need to walk through. You can be faithful. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The message that Brother Norman preached at the Poplar Hill, that is a good message. I'd recommend the fear that is of faith. And the fear that is of faith. Talked about Noah being moved with fear. It was a a faith fear, not the fearmonger fear. Father, just pray a benediction over these dear people. Father, there are battles ahead. There are victories ahead. And I pray there be no losses. Father, keep through thy own name this group of people. May we be faithful. Help us to be deeply humble, willing to suffer, willing to forgive, willing to cast everything on the Lord Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.